Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here today. We are winding up our series for this month of June entitled Humble Yourself Before God. And we know that as we went through, we kind of gave things for us to pray for. And it kind of leads us back in a circular thing that with the way same way in which we started, that we asked for prayer for ourselves, and that's kind of how it finishes here today, that we would continue to humble ourselves. As we finish up this series for this month of June, may we as the body of Christ no longer look to this month as one of pride, but as one of humility. May we be a humble people, not to simply point out the fallacy of those involved in an abominable lifestyle, but because we are a people wanting to be like our Savior. And I think sometimes we as the church, we get labeled as hate mongers and things of that nature, and maybe sometimes rightfully so, because we although we do not agree with their lifestyle, should not treat them any different than any other lost person we're trying to reach. Never should we use the reason to do the right and holy thing as a reason to condemn those struggling with sin. Because we all struggle with sin. It's just that it's easier to condemn people when their sins are different than yours and mine. But in the eyes of God, it's all sin. And so I pray that for this month, that as we've looked at, and obviously we're using something that the world is high on right now, to flip that, so that we as Christians stay away from the pride and the arrogance and draw ourselves closer to that humbleness that our Lord set such a great example for. We're going to be in the book of James, chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. It says, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. And remember that James is writing this to the church. And he has now just done what I would dare not to, but to refer to us as sinners and double-minded. And yet we are. And that's why James is looking here and he's saying, you know what? Church, you're supposed to be different than the world. It's high time you start acting that way. Because we carry on too much like the world. As Christians, we many times get accused of being hypocrites or hypocritical. And I do believe that many times that is justified, because all these are people looking on us from the outside world, and we're claiming to be one thing and they're seeing another. So let's look at some of these things here this morning that James talks about. And the first one that he talks about that we want to point out is that of the greater grace. I want for us to all know that just simply being here on this earth, we've been given grace. I do believe that we have also been given grace when we see in scriptures that we are saved by grace through faith, that we have all mankind has been given grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is, I believe, the plan of salvation offered to everyone that's ever been on this planet. That is the grace of God. But he then talks about a greater grace. Talks about a greater grace. And let's look at that just a little bit. The sixth verse of this chapter is a quote from the book of Proverbs. And here we see the divine scorn of evil is a compliment and a divine bounty to the lowly. Proverbs 3:34, and I've got it up there in the King James Version, because I feel that is the intention of a little more the intention of the translation for this. Is it says, "Surely he scorneth the scorners, and he giveth grace unto the lowly," or to the humble. And so not only does James quote this Old Testament quote, but so does the Apostle Peter. In his first letter to the scattered churches, he says in 1 Peter 5:5, you younger men, likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And this greater grace, I think, is that there are those that, as we talk and we see in scriptures that it'll make reference that judgment starts in the household of God. But we also see in that, also in scriptures, is that there is now no condemnation, Romans 8:1, to those who are in Jesus Christ. We've been given a greater grace, I believe, as James tells us, a greater grace. So we've been given this opportunity of an unmerited favor, of a gift that we are undeserving of, and yet then when we accept that and are obedient to that, we receive then even a greater grace. And what James is really trying to say is that, boy, oh boy, aren't we blessed to be Christians? That you have been given a greater grace. We've all been given the grace of God, but we have an opportunity for a greater grace. This is a reminder, especially to our fellow brethren as we serve them and as we need to be there for them, seeking to help them in their time of need. If we are an individual that think that we're the only ones that ever had struggle, George's class has been letting us know that there's probably something in that class that hits every one of us. And it's been a reminder to us that we all struggle, that we all need encouragement and help from one another from time to time. And if you don't need it right now, then use that opportunity to give it and extend it to someone else. Unless we humble ourselves, we can never serve others as we should. Jesus Christ set that ultimate example for us. And Coop mentioned this during his communion meditation this morning. As Jesus washed the disciples' feet in the night in which he was betrayed, he still humbled himself. He could have went around that whole table and skipped one individual, and there would have been nobody in the room that would have blamed him, after seeing how the next week would or the next few days would transpire. They would say, he knew. He did know. And he told them, whatever you're going to do, go do quickly. But Jesus set that ultimate example of humility and by humbling himself. As Coop was reading that text this morning, the text in which he read there out of John 13 talked about how Jesus then, being down at the disciples' feet, took off the towel that was wrapped around his waist. We as Christians many times have a very hard time lowering ourselves to certain standards. Now, I know some denominations that use foot washing as a ceremonial ritual that they'll do once a year and things of that nature. It's not so much that act as in it is the attitude in which that takes place. I often found in my questioning of some of our denominational friends, when they have this event, you know what they do special for the occasion? Oh man, I'd get my feet as grungy as possible. But you know what they do? Most of them that I've talked to, they'll go out and get a pedicure. They'll make sure that their feet are all washed and nice and clean. So that really when they have this service that take place, it's really not what it's intended for. That's where the attitude problem comes in. Remember what was said. No. Jesus, you shouldn't be doing this to us. We should be, you know, and then Jesus is like, unless I wash your feet, that you have nothing. Well, then Peter's like, well, then wash all of me. You know, and again, missing the point is that Jesus, in his ultimate humility, getting ready to die on the cross for us, had set himself aside once more to serve his fellow man. We talk about that greater grace. In verse 7 then, we see that it is talked about submitting to God. Submit to God. The first step of humbling oneself is to realize our position. We will never properly obey and submit to God if we first do not deny ourselves. That is our memory verse for theme for camp this year, was to deny ourselves, take up his cross daily, and follow him. It does no good for us to act like a Christian, to try to do all the things of Christ, and have not yet denied ourselves. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverted mouth. I hate. Do we really need to be reminded of that? In many ways, we're the same way. Those are things that we'd rather not hear or listen to. We, as much as I think we try not to be, our humility isn't what it should be. I had a conversation with a fellow preacher this past week, and I had made mention to him how I was excited for him for a future event that he has, and he spent the next 5 minutes explaining to me how humble he was in receiving this honor. And I don't know if it's just because we've been focusing on that this week, but it's like when Tom had told me that he once won an award for being the most humble person, but then they took it away from him because he wore it. It was kind of like one of those situations. That we try to exude humbleness and humility, and in doing so, we're really letting the pride of life have its way in us. And don't get me wrong, that's one of the three things that remember that Satan is going to get us with, is the pride of life. I'm just saying that we as Christians, the only way through that is not only through the submission to the Lord, but into the denial process as well. In submitting to God, we refuse all else. That verse goes on to say, submit to the Lord, or submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So many times I hear Christians say, now make sure you resist the devil and he will flee from you. Yeah, we're missing a third of that portion of that text. Because we can say, get behind me, Satan, and then go ahead and walk holding his hand the rest of the day. It starts with the submit to God. That's the humbling part of that. To realize that each and every one of us need a Savior, and we're not it. We can't save ourselves. Only Jesus Christ can and will do that for us. Until we totally submit, we cannot resist the devil. It will not happen on our own. We will not flee because we ask him, he will not flee because we ask him to. Submission to Christ first must take place. That's why we have to decide when we become a Christian that we are making him our Lord and Savior, our Master and Savior. Everybody wants a Savior. Everybody needs a Savior. But the Lord part we struggle with. The Master part we struggle with. Because if the Master tells us to do something, the answer is always, okay. There's no negotiating. There's no opting out of it. He's the Master. He's the Lord. Submission to Christ must first take place, then he gives us the power to resist the devil. This is something that we as the church and as Christians need to remember and realize, is the Holy Spirit is there to battle with us and for us. As we put on the armor of the whole armor of God. It is a battle that we are in, but we are not alone. Filling our life with godly and holy things is what spurs Satan in a retreating direction. The problem is we don't fight near hard enough, and we don't stay in the fight near long enough. But remember, the Lord has told us that he will not give us anything that we cannot handle. And as I said before, I think that's a sign that the Lord knows that we can handle a lot more than we think we can. He has a lot more faith in us many times than we have in ourselves. Oh, I can't do that. There's no possible way I could do that. There's no way I could be involved in that. The Lord's saying, yes, there is. Verse 8 then goes on to talk about drawing near to him. In the Old Testament books, we find great examples and illustrations of drawing near to God and the effects it will have in our lives and in our situations. And I was reminded of one in particular in 2 Chronicles 15, 1 through 2. If you read more on into the chapter, you'll get more insight on that. But it says, now the Spirit of God come upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. And if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, then he will forsake you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. We have been told in scriptures that no one can pluck us out of the hand of God. And that's 100% true. But unfortunately, we can make the choice to walk out on our own. We have to draw near. If you and Christ fall apart, if you and Christ separate ways, if you and Christ drift apart in your life, it is needless to ask who's moved. Because I can guarantee you're not where you used to be by his side. If there's a struggle, if there's trials, it's because you've moved. It says the Lord will be there. And this is over and over and over again in the nation of Israel. And what does God continue to do? Be there for them. That's the whole idea and the premise between with the lesson of the prodigal son. Don't matter how bad we mess up, how many pigs we have to be with, the slop of our life, the Father's still there waiting for us to come home. He was out looking for him every day, I believe. Because when the Father saw him from afar off, he ran off to meet him. See, the Father didn't go after him. He waited for him to come home. Draw near to the Lord, and he will draw near to you. And the last point here this morning is humble yourself. Kind of right back to where we've started. As I said, it's kind of went full circle. This has been our entire theme for this month. To shrink from pride and arrogance. To recognize our place before our God. And remember, we didn't make our God. Our God made us. And he made us in his image. To bend our knees before the mighty hand of God. To take notice that we must abase our actions and thoughts and surrender to King Jesus. During some of the final time of the Lord's ministry in Matthew 23, verse 12, the Lord gives this verse to us. He says, "Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted." As an individual, as a collective body, as the church of Christ, as a nation, those are the four things that we've looked at up to this point. I pray that we would humble ourselves so that in the proper time, as we started off our lessons, that he will humble us and that he will exalt us. Remember Matthew 10, 32, 33, that if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. If you deny me, I will deny you. Humble ourselves. Realize that we are a lost people without our Savior. Just prior to this verse, Jesus says that the greatest among you will be a servant. What he's saying is serve God. Serve Christ. Serve your fellow man. Serve the church. Serve, and serve some more. You want to become humble? Serve. It's not hard to look and see those that think more highly of themselves than they ought to because they are not willing to serve their fellow man. I'm talking of Christians. Because servanthood, servitude, allows one to become humble, not only in our own eyes, but most importantly in the eyes of our Lord. Church, humble yourself. Be different than the world. Be like Jesus. Serve like Jesus. Be humble like Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Jesus Christ, it is really one of the ultimate acts of humility. is coming to Jesus Christ. How Scripture tells us that it starts with a belief that there is a God and you're not it, a belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, realizing that no matter how much we try to fix it, we can't, but He can. That we have sinned and have been caught in that sin. That's why we need to repent. That we are willing to confess that Jesus is the only way. Again, denying ourselves, being immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. I know there, it sounds crazy to me, but there are a lot of many people that struggle with the idea of going down into this watery grave in front of others. That's a pride issue. I'm sorry to say it. No, I'm not. But it's a pride issue. It's a matter of humility. Because see, when you're a dead man being lowered down to the tomb, you have no control over anything. It's giving it all up. It's giving it all up to Jesus. Then we arise to walk in the new life. And then we live a life of humility because that's what He did. A life lived for one another. A life lived in service of our Lord and Master. Live faithfully for Him. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation?